Mike Martin got us into this, and I guess it's been a year and a half or more, but he said we need to look in the New Testament at what does Jesus say, what Jesus said. And we talked about a number of things that Jesus said, and then we have begun talking about the kingdom of God many, many, many Sundays ago. And I was thinking this morning, if you had to say what Jesus said, what one saying of his is most important, it would be an impossible task. I just let my mind wander a little and I realized that he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. It couldn't get any bigger than that, could it? And another thing he said, the words I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. It couldn't get any bigger than that. And then he said, no man comes to me except the Father draws him. It's hard to explain that, but the Bible says that, doesn't it? Now the church here, down the street, across the river, and all over the world needs to hear what he said about love. If we loved one another the way God has taught us to love one another, there would be no, N-O, not any, nary one. Did you ever hear that old word, nary one? There would be no problems in the church. Read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians and you can find the qualities of love there. So we are not being as obedient, you see, to what he said about our loving one another. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this is the way all men will know that you're my disciples. That you love me. And if we loved him, you understand what I'm saying? See, these are the kinds of things we need to come to grip with. It's not entertainment. It's not fluff. It's not flippant. It's not foolishness. But these are the kinds of things that the church everywhere needs to come to grips with. What did Jesus say to us about our part in this great salvation? And these are the things that he said. Then he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, who could explain that? But that's the beginning of it. You have to be born again. You cannot become a Christian unless that old nature is replaced by the new nature that's in him. And then he said, and this is what we've been talking about, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Then he said, the kingdom won't come with a lot of fanfare so that you can say, look out yonder, that's where it is. Look over there, that's where it is. He said, that's not the way it is. The kingdom of God is within you. And you means you. You on the front row, the second, third, means you and me. The kingdom of God is within us, and it is to be demonstrated in our daily lives. And the kingdom of God, he says, is righteousness. This is Paul, Romans 14. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And there's no source for righteousness other than the Holy Spirit. Think on that now. There's no peace without the Holy Spirit. And there's no joy without righteousness and peace in the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about the difference between pleasure and joy. The world is pleasure crazy. And pleasure depends on what's happening, what you're involved in, where you're going, what you're doing, what you're buying. See, that's pleasure. But joy is in the presence, the knowledge, the experience, and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he has given us the third person of the Trinity, he himself. He said, he that is with you shall be in you. That might be the most important thing, but aren't those things important that he said? He was there and they were gathered around him, and he said, he that is with you shall be in you. So that Paul could say, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. There's so much to this. Are you tired of it? Be thinking about what you'd like to do next that I can do. If I can't, well, we'll get somebody else to. But, you see, Jesus is the Word Jesus was the Word. Jesus became flesh to fulfill what John first chapter says, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Then He says down at the bottom of the page in my Bible, I can see it. You have little pictures like that, you know where it is in your Bible? It's at the bottom of the page on the left-hand side of the first chapter of John. It says, no man has seen God at any time but the only begotten of the Father. He has demonstrated Him. He has explained Him. He has manifested Him so that He could say, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. This joy is in 38 books of the Bible. Now, this is the New King James. Yours may vary just a little bit. But there are more references in Isaiah than in any other book of the Bible. 27 times Isaiah talks about the joy of the Lord. And one of the ones that we know, really the best, is chapter 12 and verse 3. You know, we talk about these things, but if somebody asks us to explain them, well, we'd kind of be at a loss, wouldn't we? Amen. Isaiah 12:3, I'm not going to linger there, but it says, therefore, you with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. We've heard that millions of times. But Jesus was the living water. And with joy, you're going to draw eternal life from Him, because He is the living water. You see, everything in the Old Testament and everything in the New Testament that has joy in it is Jesus. I mean, so you didn't get that. Everything that's related to joy in the Bible is Jesus. Now think. Back in the Old Testament, it was good crops and this different things that they had. And I love what Habakkuk says. We've talked about it. He says, though the fig tree does not blossom, there be no fruit on the vine, there won't be a calf in the stall. He said, yet I'm going to rejoice. And we get to that place. I was listening to some good teaching this morning on desert experiences. We will rejoice even in the desert. Therefore, with joy. Therefore, and therefore, that therefore, is you have to see what it's there for, and that's in verses 1 and 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. You see, now, if we could say that with all authority and all faith, we could be stronger than any giant. We'd really be overcomers, right? There's another. I'm looking at some scripture on overcomers. That's an interesting thing. Would you like to talk about being an overcomer? See, if you don't overcome, you can't be an overcomer. And if you're not an overcomer, you won't get what John saw in Revelation that the overcomers were going to get. And I don't know much about Revelation, but I can read overcome. I know what that means. Behold, he says, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Isn't that rich and isn't that beautiful? That is so good. And look over at chapter 35, verse 10. Look or listen at your choice. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. We've been talking about Zion on Tuesday morning. That Zion is heaven. Zion is Jerusalem. Zion is where God lives. Zion is the church. All four of those things you can put on Zion. That's where God lives. And, of course, if God doesn't live in the church, you don't have a church. Amen? Amen. Therefore, the redeemed, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing and everlasting joy on their heads. How many of you know that your joy is seen? Your sourpuss is seen too. And heard and experienced. And there's nothing in the world any more discouraging, downplaying to Christianity than a Christian who has nothing to rejoice in and everything to complain about. You see, when you run into people like that, you'll cross the street and go a half mile out of your way to keep running into them. That's not a good attitude. We need to let our joy spread to them, but that gets to be a bigger job than we can do. You understand what I'm saying? Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You've heard those so many times, you want me to shut up about them. Look at verse 52. There's a wonderful one there. Of 52 and verse 9, I believe it is. Break forth into joy and sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. And you know Jerusalem was laid waste. Jerusalem was destroyed. and I'm not sure that this is particularly the incident, but whatever has been destroyed by the enemy, the redeemed are to gather there and break forth into joy.
Thank you, Lord.
Because our God lives.
Yeah.
Our redemption is eternal. Our redemption will not suffer any loss. But the thing we need to think about now, and remember, you know, say, well, she's always negative. No, I'm always biblical. Jesus said that the love of many would grow cold. The love of many would grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And I want to say this, and you may want to argue with me, but that's all right, I love you anyway. If we don't love the Word of God, then we can't claim to love God. Everybody hear me? If we don't love what He says, then we can't say we love Him. And statistics say that there's less interest in the Word of God as time goes on. So that fulfills, you see, what Jesus said about the love of many growing cold. But it says there, break forth into joy and sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Now let me tell you who that redeemed Jerusalem is. She's the new Jerusalem that John saw coming down out of heaven. And this new Jerusalem was all dressed up like a bride, ready to get underneath the bridegroom. The church is the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. And this is the fulfillment of what this is saying. This is the only place that you can actually say that this was really, really fulfilled. He has redeemed Jerusalem, and that is the new Jerusalem. And these are the things that we are expecting and anticipating, and we don't know anything. You know, we know so little about the little we know. How many of you know we know nothing, really, except Jesus and Him crucified and Him resurrected and Him poured forth in the Holy Spirit and what the Word of God says? And all I've had people, you know, they will fall out with you, man, and talk ugly about you if you don't agree with them about the rapture, about the tribulation. Well, you know what? Who cares? If God had wanted us to know any of those things, He would have put it in print so that an imbecile could read it. You hear what I'm saying? Isaiah talked about a highway of holiness that there was going to be. Oh, this is a road to Him now. This is salvation. There's a highway of holiness. And Isaiah said that the wicked won't go there, but the righteous will go there. And he said that it is so simple that even a fool wouldn't make a mistake. So what God wants you to know, beloved, you can know. And what He hasn't seen fit to tell you, don't worry about. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's pre-trib rapture. It's mid-trib rapture. And really, it's pan-trib rapture. It's going to pan out the way God's got it planned. So don't sweat it. You know, the real teaching that we need is be ready. Be ready. Have your waist girded about with truth and have a sword of the Spirit in your hand, as Paul writes in Ephesians. But these are wonderful things. One more, 55 verse 12. For you, and that's us, you, Isaiah 55 verse 12, and I'm skipping some more. If we took them all, we'd be here till Christmas. Never finish anything in the Bible. How many of you ever noticed that? You never finish anything, any topic that's in the Bible. That's what keeps us digging and dipping, you see. But 55:12 says, you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Well, you know a tree can't clap its hands. That's spiritual. That's figurative. But that is an expression of great joy. And this joy is in Jesus. And everything Isaiah had more to say about Jesus, I guess, than any other of the Old Testament prophets. But joy is found in 19 books of the 27 books of the New Testament. 19 books. Isn't that amazing? That joy is that important. The New Testament church, as you know, had many problems. And when these preachers get on television and say, you know, if you'll just send to this ministry, if you'll just claim Jesus as Lord, you'll have no problems. Have y'all heard that? How many of you have heard that? Some of several of you? If you haven't, tune in. You'll hear it. You see, and that's not true. Neither, and this is, you know, my idea. Forgive me if you don't agree. Neither is it safe to say that Christians will escape the tribulation. Try telling Corrie ten Boom that. Trying to tell those, just tell that to those Christians that endured Christianity in a Nazi camp. In China right now, Christians are being persecuted. You don't hear anything about that. But Wormbrand, I believe, says there have been more martyrs, that is, people who died for the faith, in the 20th century. He wasn't that into the 21st century like we are. But in the 20th century, then of all the time since the church started, yes. More in one century than had been in 19 centuries. Uh-huh. I call that tribulation, don't you?
Yes, it is.
That certainly ain't no picnic to go to church and wonder if you're going to get out alive. Mm-hmm. And that's happening, you see. So the church will always, always have a certain amount of problems. There will be persecution. There will be criticism. There will be condemnation by others. There will be financial lack. There may be health problems. And you know, these people always say, you won't have any of this. Well, you've heard me say it 100 times, but the 2 most godly people that I've ever known died long, suffering, lingering deaths with cancer. And if they weren't saved, I don't have a chance. If they aren't in heaven, I'll never make it. Because I know their lives. So you see, we have to deal with what the scripture actually really, really says. Look in Luke's gospel. I'm talking to you about joy now, and there's so much to say in such a little bit of time, but let's just share and shout a little bit over the things, some of the things in Luke's gospel. There are 8 references in Luke's gospel to joy, and the first one I want to look at is chapter 1 and verse 14. And this is the message concerning the birth of John the Baptist. This is John Baptist was a very important person in our New Testament experience. Wouldn't you like to talk to him and have some fellowship with him? I tell you, the luxuries of the world didn't appeal to him. But this is concerning his birth, at verse 11 of chapter 1 of Luke's gospel. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness." You will have joy and gladness because of John the Baptist. And many will rejoice. A lot of other folks are going to have joy and gladness too about John, because there was a remnant who were waiting for Jesus. And when John announced the Messiah, they believed, and they also were filled with joy. You know, we have a hard time putting ourselves in their shoes. They were under Roman bondage. They were under heavy Roman taxation. They had no real liberties. But yet and still, there was an expectancy among a certain amount of the people of the Jews. And when John Baptist came and said, "He's coming," they had great joy. And just imagine how they reacted the day John pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Think back, you know, kind of put ourselves in those positions. And then look at verse 44 of that same chapter, the next page probably, verse 44. This is exciting. "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Unborn, but hearing good news caused an unborn fetus to leap for joy." So important and great was that announcement that there, this great salvation was coming. Chapter 2 and verse 10. "The angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be in all people.'" That was speaking of the shepherds who were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about. Wouldn't you like to have a video of that?
Oh, wow.
To see the glory of the Lord. And then that beautiful, beautiful announcement. Good tidings of great joy will be to all people. For in this day, in the city of David, there's a Savior born who is Christ the Lord. You know what I thought, and this is kind of tacky. I'm kind of that way. I thought, you know, if they could have that much joy before he came, what in the world's the matter with us now that he's here? Really? We ought to have more joy than they had. Because we have so many wonderful, you know, advantages. And we have the whole account in print. And we have one another to share it with. You know what? There ought to be a line of people to get in any church where Jesus Christ is magnified, where denomination is not important. God is not interested in your name tag. God is interested in our hearts. And if this nation and all the nations of the world, wherever salvation has been preached, if this joy measured up to that joy that they had before we got here, we should just have fits to get to church.
Thank you, Lord.
On time. With our tithes. That's biblical. What are you laughing about? That's biblical. That's zeal. That's holding fast. That's standing firm. That's laying hold of all the treasures of peace and joy and righteousness that Jesus has given to us. See, in him there's nothing lacking. You understand what I'm saying? And all of you agree?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about all of us now. We just need to be more zealous than we are. And you can't be every place at every time. Now, I know that. But you can go to church on Sunday. I saw in the paper where there was a church over here, I pass it real often, that's having church wherever people are gathered. You see that? They haven't had church service at a restaurant because they said there are so many people who really have to work on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And they're taking the gospel to different places and offering it to people who cannot go to church on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of nice, isn't it?
Amen.
It's unique and different. And the article said they didn't have very many people at the first service, but they were not discouraged.
Thank you, Lord.
See, the gospel is the only thing that really matters. I said the gospel. The only thing that really, really matters. Many, many others, but I want you to look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. There's so much in Luke. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. The 70. Well, he sent out 70, you remember. The 70 returned, notice, with joy. You know why they had joy? Because they had done what he told them to do. You want joy? Obey him. That's simple, isn't it? Do what he tells you to do. I've shared this before, and I don't mean to be lifting myself up at all. But you know, every once in a while, the Lord will say, go out there and offer them a cold Coke. Go out there and thank them for picking up the garbage. Did the Lord ever tell y'all anything like that?
Yes.
Well, when I do it, I am so happy. It's just such a thrill. But now suppose I don't do that, and there have been times I didn't do it. And I realize I've missed an opportunity to be a blessing. And those people, they don't even know my name. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just sharing and loving and kindness that we can give out instead of always our complaining and fault-finding. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
You see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is what shows.
Mm-hmm.
And the joy won't be there without the righteousness that God gave us in Christ.
Amen.
And the peace won't be there until we pick up that righteousness and live it. And the joy won't be there until we put on the righteousness and demonstrate the peace. And then there's a life of fullness in his presence. No wonder he said that's what the kingdom of God's all about. That's true, isn't it? What, didn't Jesus say something good? And Paul say something good? He said, seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said. And Paul said, this is what it is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's the only way you're going to find it, because Jesus is back sitting at the right hand of God the Father. God's throne is in heaven, but Jesus is everywhere on earth.
Amen.
Doesn't that make you want to give you a little quickening, you know? Greater is he that's within us. And you see, here's what we need to come to grips with. if he really is living in us, then everybody we come in contact with should see that there is something in us. Do you agree? How many of you know that we need to learn and grow? And how many of you are thankful that he's still working on us? He will not give up on us. God is so good. All the time, as they say in the prisons. His mercy keeps us from being consumed. That is so beautiful. Did I read the verse that I had called out? Chapter 10, verse 17. They returned with joy. You know why the 70 returned with joy? He sent them out to cast out demons and get people saved and delivered and healed. And they did what he said. Their joy was because of their obedience. Lord, even the demons are subject to us. Even the devil is subject to us. And I'll tell you what. If we're in right standing with him, the devil is not a problem.
Amen.
And you hear so much junk along that line. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything. You do it because your flesh wants to do it. If the greater one is in us, then the greater one's going to win over the lesser one. Greater is he that's in the church than he that's in the world. But you see, just being in the church, just sitting in a church is not going to do it. I read somewhere, I think I mentioned this last Sunday, but it got my attention. Why is it that some people won't go to church? There are two answers. Because they don't know any Christians, or because they do know some Christians. See, and there are Christians that would cause people to say, well, if that's Christianity, I don't want no part of it. We have a clear call, don't we, friends?
Amen.
I want to be what he wants me to be, don't you? I don't want to fail him, because he certainly did not fail us. Luke 15 and verse 10. Oh, this is sweet. Likewise, Jesus is speaking, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I thought about that young man that came back to the Lord at the camp meeting. He'd been there and been a witness, but he got filled with the world and went back, you know. But somehow his parents, who live in Metamoris, brought him back to the camp meeting. And almost at the close of the camp meeting, Lewis came back and repented. And you talk about an outburst of joy. Oh, it was wonderful. And I thought, well, if that's happening here in this brush arbor with all this mud and these mosquitoes, and we're rejoicing over that, what is it really like in heaven? It's wonderful, people. There's just nothing in the world that would compare with it. Look at John chapter 15, and you say, well, why didn't she do this one? We can't do them all. Just pick a few. For us now, bring it down home. Chapter 15 of John. Chapter 15 is so basic. It's so good. It talks about the true vine. It talks about pruning. How many of you have been pruned? Well, stay in the faith, you will be. You have to be shaped to continue. You have to cut away the old growth. You can't gain the Lord's blessing and his approval by just always looking back at something you were or something that you did yesterday or 10 years ago. That's gone. Every day is a new opportunity. And Jesus says he prunes in the beginning of chapter 15. But this verse that we want to look at is verse 11. And he speaks through verses 1 through 10. Now let me read 10 for you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That'd make a stump jump. That's a challenge. Now think about it. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And opposite to that, you see, if you don't, you won't abide or live or remain or stay in his love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, and this is the verse we want to look at. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Isn't that a big verse? Jesus said, what I'm telling you is so that you can have joy and that joy will be full and life will be abundant. I mean, what could be better? Let me ask you something. Now, do you think? Is there anything any better than this?
No.
No? Nothing can compare with the presence of Him in our lives. But the big need now, friends, brothers and sisters, beloved, let me tell you something. The big need is for us to manifest, to demonstrate this love and this joy. That's what Jesus meant when He said, let your light shine. Don't be dull, pessimistic. And you know, if you're not careful, you can get pessimistic about the conditions of the world. And I'm going to tell you, they're serious. We are in trouble. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I think I'm right, many of the things we see are fulfillment of Scripture. Don't you think? Well, that means God didn't lie. If He said it and He's doing it, then He's trustworthy. His word is truth. And we could rejoice just knowing that it's being fulfilled. And if we keep ourselves in right relationship with Him, we're going to be part of the fulfillment of the church. What a challenge we have. Chapter 16 and verse 20, John. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament at the things that are going to happen, but the world will rejoice because they think they're winning. You see, you've got two groups of people in the world. You've got the world, on earth. You've got the world and you've got the church. The world thinks it's victorious. The church knows it is. If we continue in the faith, if we grow in grace, and if we hold fast. You know, how many of you realize that little word if is very important? It's in 63 of the 66 books of the Bible. And it's not iffy on God's part. It's our part. And the most wonderful verse I know that has if in it, I don't say wonderful, let me say strongest. Colossians. Where Paul says that it is God's intention to present a bride, spotless and perfect bride, and this He will do if you continue. That's the first chapter of Colossians. I think maybe verse 17 along there, I don't remember. If you continue. Let me get back here, because our time is up. Chapter 16 and verse 20. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament. The church will be sorrowful. We need to be on our faces before the Lord even in this time. But the world will rejoice because they think they've won. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. When we realize who Jesus is, and when we see the kingdom coming, and when we realize that there's more power and more victory in Him than there is in any of the instruments and implements and kings and dynasties and weapons of the world, God is in control, friends. Our God reigns. Look at 21. I'm going to get myself fired. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the pain and anguish for joy that a human being has been born into this world. And if you mamas, everybody that's ever had a child, you know that's the truth. There's no pain in the world comparable to that. But the minute the child is delivered and you look and you realize what's happened, there's joy. There's joy. And the same thing is the way that it is compared here to the church. Therefore, now you have sorrow, and he is talking about the times and the hard times that they were going through and the hard times that they would be going through. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will be able to take from you. Now, that's got your name on it. If you've got the joy of the Lord flowing in your life, no one can take it away from you. And there will be sorrows, there will be anguish, there will be tears, there will be problems, but that joy will be made manifest because you realize that He in you is greater than any of the troubles of the world. Our God reigns. What could be better? What could be more powerful and richer and sweeter and greater to know that we're on the winning side? Our team wins. The captain of our salvation has done got it all won. It's finished, he said. Nothing left to be done. Isn't he good? Well, I'm 5 minutes over. I think I lose track of time.
Thank you, Father.